And of course, the son and the daughter also have the choice to marry each other
if
they want to.
Uh-huh,
yeah, why not? If they want to, they can marry each other.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the problem will be solved in that case.
Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to have your nikah during Muharram?
Well, many people, especially those living in the Indian subcontinent, think that, okay, nikah is absolutely forbidden in this month, in the month of Muharram in Safar. That's not a correct assumption, because nikah is not something haram, you know, to avoid in Muharram, of course, or in Safar, you know. Nikah is a recommended act. And of course, it is an act which guarantees at least half of one's faith. You know, it protects one from sinning. And it is such an important event in everybody's life. And it's not going to be haram. So nikah can be solemnized, and it can be, it's a contract that can be concluded at any time, at any, on any day, given day or given week or month of the year. So even, for example, nikah can be done on the day of Ashura. There's nothing haram, you know, about it, you know.
Yes, I see.
As long as, you know, nikah is not coupled with something haram like singing, dancing, expressing happiness and doing things which may be deemed as disrespectful to the event of Ashura or to the occasion, you know. The day of Ashura is...
But you know that most weddings, if not all, in fact, because they are happy occasions...
I'm not talking about wedding, you know. I'm not talking about wedding. There's a difference between wedding and nikah, you know.
Yes.
Weddings, of course, you cannot, you know, on in 9 out of 10 cases, you can see that weddings are always... It is always in a happy occasion.
Right.
And of course, anything which which is considered to be a kind of disrespect and actually sacrilegious to Muharram, or it's a kind of blasphemy, of course, should be avoided. So wedding cannot take place on the day of Ashura, but as far as nikah is concerned, there's no objection.
And the same is true for Ramadan.
Of course, Ramadan, there's no difference between Ramadan and Muharram, of course, when it comes to
marriage.
To marriage and nikah. Yes.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another episode from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to talk about, or let's say answer, some doubts or misconceptions on the important issue of Mahdaviya or Mahdism. For this, we have invited, as usual, Sheikh Murtada Karimi from Qom Seminary Schools to answer our questions that we pose here. The question that we want to ask from his presence is about the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the events that will happen after his reappearance. Sheikh Murtada, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me.
Many thanks, Sheikh, for accepting the invitation to the show. The question of the day, again, on the series of doubts and misconceptions on the concept of Mahdavi or Mahdism, is where the questioner starts to compare between the Holy Prophet Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and claim that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is more comprehensive, more perfect than the Holy Prophet al-Ayyadu Billah. This is just again to spread the seed of discord in the Islamic Ummah, to say that those who believe on the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they believe that Mahdi is more perfect, is something else, and the Prophet failed to be like him, al-Ayyadu Billah. And we take refuge to God and we want to say that at least any Muslim should not have such a thing in his mind. We believe that all the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, all kullun nurun wahid, all of them are the same light. What is the source and the root of such a doubt and misconception?
This misconception is rooted in two categories of the narrations.
Mm-hmm.
According to this Wahhabi scholar, we know that we have the verse in the Noble Book of Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق.
Mm-hmm.
It is he, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent his prophet, referring to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with guidance and the true religion, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, so that Allah make it, that is the religion, or make him, that is the prophet, inshallah I will explain about that, prevalent over all the other religions, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, even if the polytheists dislike. So the first claim of this Wahhabi scholar is that, according to Shia sources, it will happen only at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So the Holy Prophet was not able to do لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to remove all the other religions and make the religion of Islam the only religion of the world. It will happen at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So he concludes that is why Mahdi is considered as more perfect than all the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first reason.
Yeah.
The second reason is that he says that, according to Shia sources, the knowledge of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is much more than the knowledge of all the prophets. For example, Abu Abdullah, that is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, is quoted as saying, knowledge has 27 parts. What has been brought by all the prophets is only 2 parts of it. And when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, he will bring the remaining 25 parts. So he concludes that the Holy Prophet was not able to make Islam the only religion of the world, but Mahdi will do that. And the knowledge of Mahdi is much more than the knowledge of all the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad. So the conclusion is that Mahdi must be more perfect than the prophet. So the conclusion is from himself, but he refers to 2 types and 2 categories of
the narration. So in both hadiths that you mentioned, Sheikh, we cannot find the conclusion from the tongue of an infallible person.
Not at all.
Okay, so this is just merely his own conclusion of the writer.
Wherever you be with 'cause you're the one. My heart is to need you.
Suppose we can give this chance to the writer, to the thinker, to make his own conclusion. Can such a thing be concluded from these two hadiths?
Not at all.
Okay.
First of all, as you mentioned, as Shia, we all believe that because of many reasons in the Quran and narrations that no one can be compared to our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. He is the most complete and perfect human being on the earth, and Imams, even Imam Ali alayhi salam, are for sure lower in status than the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first answer is that according to Sunni sources, the Holy Prophet was not able to reach all his goals. And I think all Muslims agree on that. Now, the point is that when we talk about the greatness of a person, sometimes we have a great person with very lofty and high goals and purposes. But because of some obstacles, he is not able to reach those goals. Does it mean that that man is not perfect? Not at all. So the Holy Prophet had many goals. He had many purposes.
Yeah.
But because of some obstacles, because of the fact that people were not ready for those goals, the Holy Prophet was not able to reach all the goals. But he provided the ground for the coming generations.
Yeah.
So if the Holy Prophet has these goals, but people did not help the Prophet reach those goals, doesn't mean that there is a shortcoming in the Prophet.
It's as if to say the Prophet Nuh, he had no problem, but so we can compare it to the time of the Nuh Prophet.
Exactly, very
good. He did his message, and he did whatever he could, but the people did not come to him. So this is not the problem of the Prophet Nuh.
Exactly. Now, talking about the verse, وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, which is in chapter At-Tawbah, verse 33. We see that many Sunni scholars, they have interpreted the verse like the Shia scholars. This Wahhabi scholar claimed that لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, the fact that Islam will be the only religion of the world, will happen at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We see that the same has been mentioned by many Sunni scholars because they have seen that it didn't happen at the time of the Prophet. At the time of the Prophet, we had many other religions. But it doesn't mean that there is a deficiency in the personality of the Prophet, na'udhubillah. Mm-hmm. The problems, the obstacles were done by the people.
That is true.
Now, let me share some of the viewpoints of Sunni scholars. A few Sunni scholars, I have found only one, maybe there are others, but only I've seen Muhammad ibn Idris Shafi'i. He believed that this promise, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. But many Sunni scholars, they say that this divine promise was realized after the demise of the Prophet. I can mention, for example, Jassas, Qurtubi, Baqalani. For example, Jassas says that لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ is one of the, what we call it, the knowledge of the unseen of the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't happen at the time of the Prophet. But the Holy Prophet is talking about future. And one of the reasons that we believe in prophethood of Prophet Muhammad is that لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ happened after the time of the Prophet. So it was a knowledge of the unseen mentioned by the Prophet, because at his time we had Judaism, Christians, polytheists, but later Muslims, maybe he is referring to the time of the Caliphs, Muslims were able to defeat all these people and realize this divine promise.
Very true.
And again, Qurtubi mentions the same in his Tafsir, volume 1, page 74. For example, he says that when the first Caliph Abu Bakr, he was sending his troops, he was reciting the same verse. So you see here the Sunni scholars, they are saying the same. Can we claim that Abu Bakr is more perfect than the Prophet because of these narrations in Sunni sources? Because the Holy Prophet was not able to realize this divine source, but for example, Abu Bakr or the second or the third caliphs, they were able to do so? Not at all. No Sunni scholars believe in this.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
And the third group of the Sunni scholars believe that it didn't happen at the time of the caliphs as well. It will happen after the coming of Jesus with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in Akhir al-Zaman. There are many Sunni scholars who believe in this, like Ibn Abbas, Mujahid, Suddi, Samarqandi, Sam'ani, among the contemporary ones, Arusi, and many other Sunni scholars. For example, Ibn Abbas is quoted as saying, لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ refers to the time when Jesus a.s. will come. And we know that it is at the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi a.s. according to the Shia and coming of Mahdi according to the Sunnis. When Jesus comes, there is no one on the earth except that they will convert to the religion of Islam. Maybe the reason Jesus is mentioned is that most of the people are Christians. They see Jesus. They see that Jesus is following Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and that is why they will also follow Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. There are many other Sunni scholars. I can quote Ibn Abi Hatam Razi in his Tafsir, volume 6, page 1786. Sam'ani in his Tafsir, volume 2, page 304. And Alusi says that when it comes to the word لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, we have the pronoun لِيُزْهِرَهُ. Who can refer to the prophet and can refer to the religion. But he says that most of the scholars believe that it is referring to the religion. And the religion of Islam was not the only religion at the time of the prophet, so it will happen in future. Also, Ibn al-Jawzi and many others. So you see many, or we can say most of the Sunni scholars, they believe that the divine promise in لِيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ will happen after the coming of Jesus and Mahdi alayhi salam. So to accuse Shia that they believe that this will be realized at the time of Imam Mahdi, and that is why Mahdi is superior to the prophet, is baseless.
In case this person wants to find the reality, I think it's not bad to check the different sources from Shia and Sunni and see if there is a convergence in this issue, that most of the scholars believe in such a thing. And this is not a matter of, let's say, discrepancy among them. Many thanks, Sheikh Murtala, for your explanations.
There are two remaining points that, inshallah, I will share in the following session. Yes.
So, inshallah, we shall continue this discussion in our upcoming session, where we want to actually complete this comparison that was made between the Holy Prophet Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the person who raised the doubt, mentioned that the Shias or the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt believe that Imam Mahdi was most perfect than the Holy Prophet. And this series of shows try to say that this understanding of the hadith is not true. Okay, thank you very much for your staying tuned and listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjah bin al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide, and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time. What?
light.
A Jordanian woman is receiving high demands for the soaps she produces. Why? Because she uses an unusual ingredient. Lara Al-Titi makes soap out of camel milk. She tours different cities in Jordan to find the best camel farms for her business. Titi uses camel milk as the main ingredient for the soaps she produces. That's because she says it has rich benefits and contains more vitamins than cow's milk.
The first stage includes weighing the soap, and I include different kinds of oil to preserve the quality of the soap and its therapeutic benefit. We need to have high foam and tough consistency, and we don't want it to be rancid. We place high importance on the therapeutic material that we add during the production process.
Titi started her soap line at home using a manual process and then expanded it to an independent workshop. Her soap line has now become very popular in Jordan. Titi produces more than 4,000 soap bars a month. She sells them to both domestic and international customers.
The German firm's electric air taxi takes its first flight at a show in an airport near the French capital, Paris. Volocopter's flying taxi, which looks like a tiny helicopter, took off and landed vertically over the airport with no passenger on board during a three-minute trial. Aside from its two-passenger capacity, the aircraft also has some room for luggage. It flew a 500-meter route at speeds of up to 30 kilometers per hour and 30 meters high along the airfield. The flying taxi service would first be operated by a licensed pilot, but the flight would be fully automated over a period of time.
With respect to regulation, initially we will have a fully certified, fully licensed helicopter pilot, just to fit into existing regulation. But we believe over time it can be much simpler to obtain such an operating license for a volocopter. And of course, in the last instance, we want to take a pilot requirement out, and we want these vehicles to fly fully automated. So you will not need a pilot license anymore. You can just summon the volocopter. It will come and pick you up and bring you safely to your destination.
The German firm is entering the urban mobility market with high hopes of playing a major role in the infant industry. Volocopter says its objective is to have a service in operation for 2024 for the 2024 Olympic Games. Walking around the city without shoes can be delightful. If you're interested in the experience, visit the Russian capital. A 3.5 kilometer long barefoot trail has recently opened in Moscow's Elk Island Park. It's made of various materials such as pine bark, beach pebbles, and clay. Taking around 40 minutes to complete, the path attracts hundreds of visitors every day. However, some people find it difficult to walk without shoes, calling the path a torture trail. A zoo in Turkey has welcomed a baby elephant from an endangered species. The birth of a female calf at Izmir Wildlife Park has caused excitement in keepers and visitors. The calf, yet to be named, is the third offspring of parents from Asian species. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature classifies the Asian elephant as endangered due to their rapid decline in the wild. The Asian elephants are primarily threatened by poaching, fragmentation, and loss and degradation of habitat. Currently, around 20 to 40,000 Asian elephants are living across the world, five of which inhabiting Turkey's Izmir Zoo.
Over 300 classic vehicles have taken part in a retro rally across Estonia. The 1,000-kilometer rally kicked off in the town of Paide. It drew participants from Latvia and Finland. Their motto is Straight Ahead to the Past. The vintage cars participated in the event are mostly produced between 1930 and 1980. Experts say all the vehicles are in good condition. However, they doubt if all the vehicles can make it to the end of the five-day rally. A Palestinian artist has come up with the idea of making children feel happy after the recent Israeli aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip left many people dead. Amna Sami is a young Palestinian artist who has gathered Palestinian kids in the city of Beit Lahia, north of Gaza. That's where houses were destroyed by Israeli airstrikes and bombings during the recent aggression on the territory. Sami draws the Palestinian flag as well as the map of Palestine on children's cheeks as patriotic symbols. She says she does that to say that these people in the midst of destruction will become strong again. Sami says by painting on kids' faces, she wants to send a message to the world.
I'm sending a message to the world that our children should live like other children in the world, away from danger and destruction. It is their right in life to live as children in a safe place, a place that gives them something to live a normal life.
Palestinian kids say they feel happy when Sami paints their faces. The Israeli regime launched its devastating onslaught on Gaza in early May. At least 256 Palestinians, including 66 children, were killed during the 11-day war. A Turkish band has found musical inspiration in a most unlikely place, a local landfill. Here's more. Members of Funk Istanbul have assembled instruments from the dump in a junkyard in Istanbul. They use their ingenious new tools to play Turkish folk music. The band aims to raise awareness about recycling. Turkey is one of the biggest producers of municipal waste globally. The country has a low recycling rate. Only 12% of waste is repurposed there.
Technology has come in handy to rescue animals in disaster zones. American cinematographer Douglas Thron has used a high-tech infrared drone to save animals from fire or storm, or even those who are stuck in trees. The drone he uses has a large thermal camera, a spotlight, and zoom lens. The good point is that the aerial vehicle does not make too much noise. Therefore, it does not scare away animals.
So what I do is I fly infrared drones primarily at night over disaster areas after a hurricane or a fire hits, and I look for people's pets, whether it be cats or dogs, and I also look for injured wildlife, and then either I or rescue crews will go in and rescue the animals after I spot the animals after these natural disasters.
Thron has so far rescued hundreds of stranded animals in various places in the US and Australia. Emergency services have allowed him to participate in rescue efforts after making sure that the drone works well to achieve its goal.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A video has gone viral showing animals at a U.S. zoo enjoying their bath time becoming clean as a new pin. Keepers at Chicago's Brookfield Zoo washed the animals to celebrate International Bath Day. From anteaters to rhinos all got sprayed with a water hose. They seemed to love their bath time as it kept them cool in the summer heat. Zoo officials say the occasion is to honor ancient Greek scientist Archimedes, who made a discovery while in the bath. You might be pleased to know life is going back to normal as countries around the world are easing coronavirus restrictions. Disneyland in the French capital, Paris, is saying bonjour to visitors once again with all necessary precautions. Bet everyone missed that. The theme park reopened its doors to the public with limited tickets and an online reservation system. All visitors over 6 years old are required to wear face masks and to observe social distancing guidelines. New attractions, including a hotel and various car rides, are also available for guests. Disneyland Paris was shut for over 7 months due to rising COVID-19 infections. This is the first time since January 2020 that all the six Disney resorts are open. Children have their own ways of remembering the dead. In Gaza, Palestinian kids fly kites in memory of their peers who lost their lives in the recent Israeli onslaught. Dozens of kids participated in the event, holding kites bearing the pictures of 66 little victims. According to the organizers, the goal was to send a message to people around the world that Palestinian kids have the right to live a free and happy life. The children said their dream is to fly in the sky without any restrictions or wars. A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas.
Chinese grandma has given a dazzling display of her masterly kung fu performance at a martial arts competition. The 98-year-old woman and her son took the stage as a curtain raiser to the event. The duo put on a kung fu show before a large crowd of spectators who were impressed by her skillful gestures. She was invited to the competition to act as a judge.
I started practicing martial arts when I was only 5. I would box every day, learning movements like chopping, pushing palm, and thrusting palm. Though I am old now, my strength hasn't gone.
Zhang says she's inherited her family's martial arts. She's rumored to have a sense of justice from a very young age and try to help others, which earned her quite a reputation where she lives. Traditional martial arts have been passed down in the Zhongqing village located in Zhejiang province for 500 years. Let's go to Italy, where Mount Etna has put on an eye-catching show with its spectacular eruptions. Red-hot lava fountains and plumes of smoke spewed up into the sky. The main eruption was located at the southeastern crater of the volcano. Mount Etna is Europe's tallest active volcano. It's located above the Sicilian town of Catania. It often erupts but rarely causes damage. However, nearby residents have to deal with ash showers. Geological studies show that Mount Etna has been active for more than 2 million years now. Egypt has opened its first archaeological replica factory in an attempt to promote its culture worldwide. The factory was inaugurated in response to people's demand for having detailed copies of ancient treasures. So far, over 6,400 high-quality replicas of ancient Egyptian artifacts have been produced. More than 150 artists work to make the goods out of stone, wood, and even gold.
The materials with which these are made are high quality. The highest and most elegant materials are being used to make these samples, and the materials are very close to those used to make the original artifacts.
The models have certificates showing that they are identical copies of the original artifacts. Each replica also has a barcode that provides extra information about the item. The factory is located in Kalyuba, about 35 kilometers northeast of the capital, Cairo.
Now, a lot of people don't like rats and find them disgusting most of the time. However, the rodents are doing life-saving work in Cambodia. Now, the Southeast Asian nation has deployed a new squad of African giant pouched rats to sniff out old landmines. The new recruits have shown an exceptional ability at their task, with their handlers claiming 100% accuracy. There are now nearly 50 demining rats working in the field in Cambodia. The country started using the animal services in 2016, and they have helped detect and clear hundreds of landmines since. Last year, an especially heroic rat called Magawa attracted global fame after receiving a gold medal for his work. The hero rat, who is now retired, detected over 71 landmines.
A muralist from Greece is blending mythology with graffiti and street art to depict how COVID-19 has impacted lives around the globe. Ficus Antonios has painted the walls of many cities around the globe. He is now in the Cypriot capital, Nicosia, to continue his work. His latest artwork depicts Americus, a Cypriot mythical figure who was punished by the gods and turned into a plant. The Greek artist believes this theme is similar to the situation people around the globe have experienced since the pandemic began. He explains many people have grown roots because they're staying in one place for so long.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We were looking at Islam as the champion of human rights compared to other religion and other faiths and other systems, other civilizations. And we said Islam established everything way before anyone else. One has to keep in mind that, and it's also fair to even ask to begin with, that, if you guys acclaim to be Muslims, then why are the Muslims, you know, divided into countries and states? Why each country has different laws? Why, if you acclaim to be Muslims, why can't you enjoy your rights in another Muslim country? And so on and so forth. And it is quite fair to ask such a question and to have such an idea in one's mind, because in reality, that as a Muslim, I should be able to walk anywhere in any country at least that is Muslim, right? So, if I, for example, I could come all the way from Turkey all the way to Yemen, and no one would say to me, where are you going and who you are, correct? Because all these are Islamic countries. The fact we have to keep in mind is that what we have today, the systems that have been done today. They have been deprived and they have been taken away from Islam. What do I mean by that? That the countries that we have today that claims to be a Muslim, in fact, the people might be Muslims themselves, but the system is not. The people that govern these lands are anything but Muslims, maybe by name, but they are anything but Muslims. Why? Because we see that those who are in power and these systems and these governments are oppressive to their people first and foremost. Because you look in some countries and you see horrendous actions being committed against the people in every country, in every Islamic country, be it in Syria, be it in Lebanon, be it in Iraq, be it in Egypt. Horrendous activities and crimes have been committed against their own citizens. So it makes you wonder, and you have to keep in mind, that this has nothing to do with Islam. Islam and all Muslims, they have one citizenship. They have one passport, which is Islam. And that's sufficient for them to move and roam in any parts of the Islamic peninsula, if we can say, or the Islamic countries, as free as they want, without anyone stopping them, without anyone harassing them, without anyone trying to ban them or get them, you know, to stop working, and so on and so forth. So all these under the Islamic law should not happen. So what we have today, even though we call them Islamic countries, but the reality is, and the sad reality is, that they are nothing, they have nothing to do with Islam. Yes, we say because of the current situation, because of the way the world works, you know, some countries need to take security measures, need to take, you know, things into consideration. For example, who comes into the country, who goes into the country, because you can't just be naive and say, well, everyone is a Muslim, then everyone is welcome into my own country now. That has been changed. So, yes, systems need to be put in place. Laws need to be taken into account. But it has to be done with flexibility. If I, as a Muslim, apply, for example, for a visa to go to Hajj, I shouldn't be denied as far as if they check my name and they find out that I am not a terrorist, for example, or I don't have a criminal record, for example. I shouldn't be stopped, or I shouldn't be, not allowed to stay longer than what I want. For example, in other countries, you go in, they say, okay, you got a month, you got to go. Why? Maybe I want to stay for longer. So these things maybe one needs to reconsider when we look at a whole system. Before we go any further, let's take a break and inshallah we continue after.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program for humanity. Just before the break, we were saying that as Muslims, we should be able to roam anywhere, and we have one citizenship and one passport, which is Islam. That itself, this belief, it came from the fact that Islam as a faith was built on the notion that there is the concept of monotheism, which is what we call Tawheedullah. As Muslims, because we do have the same Lord and we submit to the same Lord, to the same belief system, therefore, we are all the same. We are all the same in everything. So therefore, the human rights applies to all of us equally compared to Judaism, compared to Christianity, where they have different denominations, different groups, different schools of thoughts, for example, different, I don't know, what have you. Their beliefs is different. These guys believe this is God. This guy believes this is God, and so on and so forth. So there are many different ideologies in these faiths, which divides them. When Islam, the whole system of Islam was based on Tawheed, was based on monotheism. Therefore, all the Muslims need to come under the banner of Tawheed, of being worshipping one Lord, and therefore everything applies to them. And even having said that, being a Muslim, even though it gives you the right to live everywhere else, those who are not Muslims, they are respected under the Islamic law. For example, you see that even during the Islamic era, during the time of the Prophet, or after the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the Prophet allowed them to keep their churches, to keep their synagogues. They used to do their own laws. For example, when it comes to divorce, when it comes to, you know, paying, child support, when it comes to land, when it comes to buying and selling, when it comes to inheritance, when it comes to many things, Islam did not get involved. He said, well, that's your thing. You deal with your people on your own accord, on your own faith. And even you see that even in Damascus back in the day, if you read the history, you see that some of the churches in Damascus, they used to have their own prisons where they used to prison their own followers if they break the law, for example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they, even though they're not Muslims, but they can still enjoin and live with you in peace, if they pay the taxes, of course. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was, it was narrated that he said, لَهُمْ مَالَنَا وَعَلَيْهِمْ مَعَلِنَا. Whatever is for us is for them as well. Or whatever is, you know, falls onto us will fall onto them. And what is against us will also be against them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi stated that he made this saying. He says, وَمَنْ أَعْدَى بِمِيَنْ, and whoever harms a person who is under the Islamic protection, كُنْتُ خَصْمَهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, I will be his opponent on the Day of Judgment. Which means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is making a strong statement. He says that those who live under the Islamic protection, even though they are not Muslims, their human rights needs to be preserved. That if you by any chance try to harm anyone under the Islamic protection because he's not a Muslim, you will face the wrath of Allah and you will face the wrath of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi himself on the Day of Judgment. Now compare this to other religions and let's see if one could make a clear judgment between the two. And obviously you can tell the superiority of Islam in this regard. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. Ya Rabbi salli ala Muhammadin wa ali. Ya Rabbi salli ala
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is the supplication of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. And we were discussing the end of this supplication, verse number 10. Some of the phrases are remaining to discuss, and inshallah we will try to cover some of these today and perhaps go to the next supplication, if not in this session, then in the forthcoming session. In the 10th verse, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, and I'm reading the translation only because we would like to look at some of the ending phrases. Imam says, "Indeed, my capacity has been straitened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me, and I am filled with worry by caring what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me and to repel that into which I have fallen. So do that for me, though I merit it not from thee, O possessor of the mighty throne."
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
So this situation is a situation whereby Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam teaches us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us from the predicament that we have been entangled with. When we say faqad dhiqtu lima nazala bi ya rabbi dhar'an, indeed my capacity has been straitened, that means has narrowed down, my Lord, due to what has befallen me. Now this narrowing down of the capacity is not a small phenomenon. One of the probabilities that we give is that it talks of a spiritual state. Obviously, with regard to the Imam enjoys a very high level of capacity, and therefore when the Imam says this, it is something that is beyond our comprehension. But when a lay person or even an average person starts saying this, then he talks of the capacity, the lower capacity that he enjoys, although relatively he may be enjoying a high capacity in relating, if you relate it to the other, to other people. But then in himself, when he compares the capacity that a human being can have, he sees that it is very narrow. He doesn't have that much capacity. Now, this capacity is the capacity of receiving the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, doing the right things in life. And it can be about the physical capacity or the spiritual capacity, but we must understand them. The greatest predicament is when a person's heart is extremely narrow and straitened because of what he himself has done in life. And that is why situation has come about whereby his capacity has narrowed down because of his own actions. When this capacity narrows down, it is very difficult for a person to do the things that he has to do as a human being. And therefore, this is a lamentation and saying, and this is an expression whereby we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and explain our situation and say, فَقَدْ ضِقْتُ لِمَا نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي ذَرْعًا وَامْتَلَأْتُ بِحَمْلِ مَا حَدَثَ عَلَيَّ هَمًّا. Indeed, my capacity has been straightened and narrowed down, my Lord, due to what has befallen me. And even that which has befallen me, O Lord, it is because of my own actions. And I am filled with worry by carrying what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me. We give an example of, you know, training children. And we said that with regard to training children, there is a situation whereby when a person doesn't do the right things, then he gets the calamity of the children not being trained very well. And then you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to train them well. Now that you have, for example, you know, done what you have done and the calamity has befallen you and you are worried of what is going to happen to you in future.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
And then you say, وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ. While you have the power to remove what has afflicted me, وَدَفْعِ مَا وَقَعْتُ فِيهِ, and to repel that into which I have fallen. And then we address Allah. And this is the phrase that we want to talk about today, showing that the grace is Allah's, sheer grace is only Allah's. We don't have, whatever we do, would not compensate and would not be an exchange of Allah's grace. Allah's grace is total from his side. There is no kind of transaction that a human being is doing, that he thinks sometimes that yes, he worships or he struggles and then Allah gives him the grace, not realizing that even the struggle and the worship is by Allah's power and grace. So it's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one way. There is no two-way transaction. And therefore, it's sheer grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam teaches us and says, فَفْعَلْ بِي ذَلِكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ أَسْتَوْجِبْهُ مِنْكَ. So do that for me, though I merit it not from you. That means, you know, even if you remove all these calamities that have befallen me, I do not merit this, because whatever you give is one way. There is no kind of transaction. We try to speculate or we try to, you know, think in our minds that, you know, okay, I've done a lot of tawbah and istighfar and I've cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I deserve to be forgiven and now I deserve to have a greater capacity, while that is completely wrong, because the grace is entirely from Allah. It is a favor and only a favor. It's not that because I did istighfar, that means I deserve. You don't deserve anything. The human being doesn't deserve anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows grace and forgiveness from his side, and there is no kind of transaction. Inshallah, we will continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواه از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را.